Okay. Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, June 19, 2018. It's 9 a.m. and we're assembled in the BCC conference room for general discussion. President Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner Hare, and Commissioner DeYoung. Item number one is order number 2018-051 in the matter of administrative policies and procedures for Josephine County for the purpose of conducting business on a daily basis. Policy B-11. Arthur O'Hare will give us a quick report.
Thank you. And Arthur O'Hare, Finance Director. And what we have here is the a management policy that the federal government is requiring that we approve and establish, and in our auditors, it's basically a box the auditors check to say, do we have a policy that says that we're going to comply with, if we receive federal funds, we will comply with the uniform administrative requirements in the Code of Federal Regulations for the use and spending of federal funds. In order to update our administrative policies, we have to do that via board order. So we put together the policy and the board order and requesting that the commissioners will review that and approve it.
Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Move to approve order number 2018-051. Or will we be moving this to the weekly business session? Do we have it in time?
It could go either way, but it's totally an internal administrative policy. It has nothing...
Most orders are.
Yeah.
Is it on the agenda for tomorrow? No. Probably not.
I don't know. I do not know if I requested
about it on
that.
Thursday.
Yes.
I thought it was... It's a big agenda. I got bored halfway through proofing it, so...
Do I have your second?
Sure. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Arthur O'Hare.
I heard there's skiing in August.
Stepping up next is we're going to move item number 4 in front of item number 2, Public Health Quarterly Update. Michael.
Morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
So I'm here for a makeup on my quarterly update. We were busy talking about RFP last time. So this is just a follow-up on my update for that. And I'll try to beat Arthur's time, but I doubt it. So for environmental health, everything is going fairly well. We are a little bit behind on food inspections for the month, but we shouldn't have a problem making them up. Staff has been working on solid waste, which a recent issue popped up with one of the properties. We had a cleanup scheduled, and the owner opted to light the trash on fire instead. So we're working on some follow-up from that. The staffing will be working on replacing our environmental health specialist. We have interviews scheduled later this week. So we'll be fully staffed in that, hopefully in the next couple weeks. For animal shelter, our live release rates are a bit low. That's to be expected. We're in kitten season, which means we're taking in a whole lot of cats right now. And the consequence of that is cats simply don't have the same survival rates, especially kittens. So we're trying to work through that. Sheriff is going to be taking over the dispatching of complaints for the ACOs as part of the final transition of the ACOs over to the sheriff's office. Shelter location, we probably won't be looking at moving the shelter at this point. There's a couple final sites, but we need to move forward on actually getting some capital works or capital projects done. So we need to get moving forward on that, and we've just haven't been able to find a site that's viable. So... in the interest of moving forward and putting those levy funds to use, we'll be moving forward here pretty quick. There's a couple final sites we'll be checking out. But
is there anything that can be done to the property itself? I mean, there's a lot of acreage not being utilized right now that could offer soundproofing or some barrier with the noise from the jets?
Right now the conversation is we're going to move... some of the facilities further back into the woods, which will help provide some, and we maybe look at soundproofing the facilities. At the end of the day, we looked at moving the facilities because we're looking at doing capital improvements. And since we're spending the money, it was worth contemplating. But it's not going to be the end of the world if we have to stay there. We'll be able to work around
it. Let's just get step back a second. Those are county facilities. Nothing gets moved until the board actually says that that happens. And I haven't heard a proposal on hardly anything associated with this other than I know that there's a sound challenge. And that's key to mitigating in the long term. But in the short term, I don't want to see anything move.
Oh, no, no, we aren't there yet. Okay. That's just initial conversations about how we would handle it.
It sounded like we're going to move something to the back of the property.
No.
Blah, blah, blah. That sounds pretty
simple. Mr. Morgan was wondering if there's things we could do. And that's what has been proposed.
It's just a door alarm.
So we were proposing a little bit ago to do a master plan assessment. There's some needs for dealing with different animals. There's a need for a clinic on space. There's needs for some other stuff. And it was part of levy dollars. And so in the process of looking at the property, it was suggested that we make sure there weren't any off-sites that would be more appropriate because of the noise.
Yeah.
But the next step would be...
Because we had property there, and maybe there was a building or whatever. And it's less than ideal, for sure.
But it's also not the end of the world.
No. Is there an ability to co-locate, like, next to the Humane Society or something like that, where you would have a separate footprint, but...
I haven't reached out to her yet. I'm going to be hopefully meeting with her this week or next week to have that conversation.
Does that make sense? I mean, maybe. I imagine there's some political challenges, but we work really well. Don't we work hand-in-hand with that?
Well, I'm going to go meet with them and we'll see.
Okay.
I would say that we are always willing to create more friendships in that area, and there may be more work to be done.
Our relationship has improved over time because our euthanization
has gone down.
Dramatically been reduced.
Yes.
I don't want to get us off on a sidetrack. We should talk about that later.
Okay.
But you'll remember a couple months ago, Mike had a plan for doing a master facilities plan on
right.
On
you'll
site.
See
that's
that
right.
Okay. Before we break ground on anything.
Okay. Great.
Prove that.
I don't want to drive by and see something and be like, I only pretend to think I'm facilities liaison or whatever.
No, it was before that they did a facilities plan. It was make sure that's the right location
exactly.
to even do a plan.
Right.
And then so the next step would be doing the plan. And so.
Great.
All right. Legal holds, based off of the change in policy from last week. Dog versus human cases are now going to a hearings officer, which has been fantastic. And a just little bright point, by the way, we are not officially endorsing scouts or anything like that, but there are three references to scouting in here. It's just a coincidence. There's going to be an Eagle Project out at the shelter. They're going to be putting in some steps and doing some work for them. Clinical services... we are in talks about getting some dental services offered, some expanded dental services above and beyond what we currently provide. We're talking to Advantage Dental as well as the CCOs, and we'll probably be reaching out to Siskiyou Dental to talk about it. Far in the past, it had been part of Diane's plan to get dental services put out there, and she had moved the ball forward. But
you guys used to have them.
Well, we offer...
Because I remember going there as a kid for dental services, but...
I'm not aware of... I want to word this carefully. I'm not sure about that far back.
it was a while ago. However, with the CCO model, is there need for further dental, or is it not offered in the community enough?
There is, particularly... finding dental services for low-income families is a challenge. It's something that the CCOs had at one point earmarked when they were working with Diane on it. We're seeing if the funding's still available. But regardless, we're working with Advantage to expand free screenings for children.
Is there a breaking point to where all of a sudden we say, you know, why should I go to work? Because my kids are getting free dental, they get free meals. Big deal in the paper about all the meals that are going to be given to the kids all summer long and blah, 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 where they can get all this free food. So now I don't have to feed my kids. I'm going to have everything all going to be taken care of by the government, and now I'm going to throw dental in on top of it. There is no reason for me to go to work for $12 an hour. I'd throw away everything if I do go to work. And I'm looking at now hiring signs all over Grants Pass.
What I can tell you is that the majority of our clients work, even the married.
They're low income.
Yes.
So they are contributing something to the family unit. They're just not. They're just not. Gee, I'm on the system, and why should I do anything?
No, not at all.
They have some income, and we screen that. I mean, are you allowed to ask them how much you make?
Oh yeah, we keep track of that, and the state monitors that. So those records are out there. We don't screen for that. We don't require them. The administrative cost of maintaining something like that would be exorbitant. So, and we aren't offering pay. We're offering supplemental services. So healthy fruits and vegetables in lieu of, you know, McDonald's. But it's not a huge amount.
Okay. Just a question.
No, absolutely. Advertising, we're looking at doing some expanded advertising for our clinical services. We're working with some folks that used to manage our advertising through AllCare. They're going to help us put together some platforms, but the funding's coming from us. And juvenile justice. Not a problem. Juvenile justice, I had mentioned previously about us offering services out there. We're in talks with them about them reinstating a contract that existed previously, prior to them shutting down and reopening, and that is having public health offer nursing services, or cover the nursing services. Right now they're contracted with ConMed and they're running into some challenges.
Okay.
Next slide, that's interesting. Interesting information for you if you want to look at it. Let me know if you have any questions. Probably the only thing you should know, and it may not be fully reflected on here, is we do have a spike in gonorrhea and chlamydia within the community currently.
Do we have any kind of educational thing along those lines? I remember when I was in school years and years ago, they had quite a deal in health class and everything, telling you exactly what sexually transmitted diseases were all about.
That is far expanded, and it's something that's currently being implemented. Every grade K through 12 has sexual education requirements, age appropriate. That's a mandate from the state. So schools are kind of scrambling to figure out how to implement that. But 9 through 12 actually has twice a year. So every grade you'll have some conversation around, you know, appropriate behavior, and in a later grade more focused on exactly what you're talking about. Child parent health, the only real big thing, we're starting to recover on our target caseload. The state's aware, they're comfortable with it. We took a very, very minor hit on our budget, but it's hardly worth noting. I think I mentioned it in the budget review meeting. But we are seeing recovery because we're finally up to full staff. And Farm Direct, we received $58,000 worth of farmers markets coupons. And we're providing them to families within the WIC programs, ranging from $28 to $140 in coupons that can be used at farmers markets.
And so they use the coupon at the farmers market, then the vendor has to turn them in to get reimbursed or something?
Yeah, they're aware. Farmers market vendors that participate, opt to participate in the programs, know the full process on that.
So. And it's, I mean, and honestly, it's a pretty good deal because it's supporting the local farmers, but it's also, they get a 2-for-1 on the vegetables, mm-hmm. which generally, I don't know, I just, it's, you know, they're eating healthy versus whatever else is going on kind of thing.
I'd be interested to see how much money goes into the Farm Direct program at the very top and how much actually comes out in coupons to give to the people. Much is eaten up in between those two.
It's a direct allocation by the state, so I'm not sure what their administrative costs are for it.
So in other words, we don't have anything other than, do they give you the coupons and then you decide who to give it to?
There is guidelines around how we distribute them. We notify our families that they're available this year. They get classes and guidance on how to use them, and they have to sit through a class on health education.
Okay.
Emergency preparedness. So we have a emergency preparedness badge. A young scout is coming in and working with our emergency preparedness coordinator to earn their badge. And we will also likely be hosting a scout troop in the near future for their public health badges. They need to do a tour of the local public health department, and they may know somebody. And finally, our current staffing, we're just shy of 90%. We just extended an offer for a new home visit nurse. So we're hoping to restart our cocooning home visit program, which is going to be big for us. I get calls on a regular basis from hospitals and clinics requesting help with patients that would be eligible for this program, but it's hard for us to keep staff in that role. And Ruth Converse recently left, who was in it for forever and a day. So it was a big hit. And we'll be doing environmental health interviews this Friday. So that's all I got.
Okay. Any questions for Michael? Chris Morgan? It's all set to go. Thank you, Michael Weber. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, item number two, fairgrounds director position. So all of you come aboard. And Arthur's in the wings to answer any questions.
I think they're throwing you under the bus by staying back there, and you know.
I think so too.
In the dark.
Okay, I'll turn it over to you, Peggy Anderson.
Actually, sir, it's
Lonnie
Johnson. I'm just here as an innocent bystander.
Well,
chairman of the board.
I sent you. Lonnie Johnson, chair of the fair board for this year, and I'm here to talk about the fair director position. Currently held by Peggy Anderson, and as you all well know, she has resigned effective after the fair. And we have had long discussions regarding the position and what we can do. Peggy has provided unbelievable amount of support and insight in how to run a fair. And has been the perfect backup from when Mary was running it and turned it around. They've really done an excellent job. And what we need to do now is to move forward with getting a new director in here. And we would like to have the commissioners approve pulling the trigger on getting that done, getting out and getting the advertising going so we have people start to apply, and because the sooner we can get them in, the sooner we can work with them, or hopefully we can work with them. I know you, as the Board of Commissioners, are the ones ultimately responsible for the hiring, but we hope to have our nose under the tent flap and make sure that we're going to be getting the kind of people that we already see happening at the fairgrounds. As you all well know, we've been making great progress, and a lot of improvements have been going on. Sometimes it's baby steps and sometimes it's big steps, but what we're really looking for is for you to say, okay, let's move and replace Peggy. And Peggy is 100% behind that.
Absolutely. So the proposal is to...
Well, I would like... We have a current fair director position listed, and we would like to use that one. Our proposal at this point is to use the current position description, and then when they come on board, have Peggy work with them. They would be in charge of primarily facilities manager. Peggy would be is willing at this point to work with us, providing the fair board is comfortable with that, and to just concentrate on just the fair, not having to do all the facilities and everything else. It's my understanding the budget already makes allowances for that. as Peggy submitted it. We just feel as though we don't, if it's working, let's not fix it. And Peggy's glad to stick around and help with just the fair part.
There will be a transition. Are you willing to, after the 31st, if we get a new director in here, be available for consultation for the transition?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I actually was on from September through December when Peggy took over,
right,
helping her through that transition as well.
Okay. It's an ongoing transition. It won't just happen overnight, no matter who we end
up
with.
This is a very good time of year to be hiring a fair manager. You know, the fall's much, much better. So there's a good chance that you actually don't get the right applicant until, you know, so.
Well, Commissioner,
I actually may have
a real strong candidate.
Oh, okay. That helps.
In the wings.
So you cheat.
I did.
What I'm calling it, but that's great because they did it done.
I absolutely. We have come so far with where we've been since 2013 that just in casual conversation, there is a fair manager that would like to not be named at this point that would apply for it tomorrow, especially under the proposed structure of the way it is. He and his family have family in Southern Oregon. They'd like to move to Southern Oregon.
Well, that's not all that important right now. Right now is the structure. So you said a facilities person. So what I see is the fairgrounds kind of bread and butter is an events person throughout the year that fills in around the fair. That doesn't sound like a facilities person. I would never task our facilities person, Ryan Johnson, promote a blues and brews.
Maybe you misnamed it.
I think it's just a misname.
Well, don't call it that, because if you advertise for a Ryan Johnson, you're gonna get a Ryan Johnson.
Yeah.
But if you need an events person, that's a different wheelhouse, in my opinion.
And the manager needs to do it all.
They have to recognize the facilities, the structure itself. Yeah.
They have to be responsible for the whole thing.
Responsible for the asset.
You know, you can have people under you
be an events coordinator.
Helping with the events.
And I think, in fairness to everybody, I think, like Mary said, the person will still run the whole thing.
Okay.
And then if you want to contract out with me or Mary or whatever, that's great because it's built into the budget.
Right.
But something could happen to any of us, and
I
think it's very important that we all have a backup.
Yep, I agree.
I mean, every single one of us.
Yep.
And
nothing's allowed to happen to any of you. I'm just letting you know
right
now.
Thank you. Thank you. We'd like to keep it that way.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds fine.
But we'd like to keep it in
a circle. I'd like to take a look at the job description and make sure that it reflects exactly what we're looking to.
And then can we go ahead and get it posted then, once you all look at it and approve it?
Mm-hmm. And if you could get that and make sure Arthur's on board.
Jay, did you have some
JJ, I see JJ making a move here.
Yeah, just one quick thing that I just wanted to point out. So the current budget is for a contracted fair manager and a lower level, basically, facilities supervisor.
Event manager.
That's what's in the budget. So if you want to have a director and contract out, that's not in the budget. It will cost more than what's in the current budget.
So the budget needs to be adjusted.
When I budgeted for that position, I budgeted with about the 50,000 figure somewhere in there. And it may have to be increased a little bit if you do go to that. I'm not sure you have to. With pulling the fair out of it, that's a huge part of it. And I think that you would be able to find someone for a little bit less than what I'm making currently if they don't have to deal with the fair at all.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, the budget is pretty much what it is. I don't know how much it can just be arbitrarily increased without some sort of expectation of revenues keeping up. Because
our revenues are coming in.
Good.
And we're in the black.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I'll review it this afternoon. If you guys are fine with it, we can get it posted ASAP. And it just will be refined over time. It's going to be kind of an organic what fits. Because we haven't done this before. This is the fifth fair manager I think I will have served with. So, you know, I think we had a little bit of another hybrid approach, which was to integrate it with the park system from that event manager. You know, Sarah used to do that. And I honestly don't think the park system is it's on. It's an 8-cylinder, and it's probably almost there to where Sarah could say, you know what, I got this. So the Parks has just turned around. She's got the subsequent staff in place, but trying to put shore that system up and then take on the events elements and facilities, I have every confidence that eventually she could probably do that. Maybe this person is exactly, I mean, that was what you were kind of, you came in and was in a transition, and so this is perfect.
Maybe Sarah wants to apply again.
No, she's fine where she's at.
Not an option. She's doing a good job.
So maybe you call one fairgrounds manager and the other fair something like
coordinator
that.
Coordinator or whatever.
Yeah. So fairgrounds versus facilities, yeah.
Well, she can contract back. That's what the board
said.
It's a fairgrounds manager.
As the liaison to the fairgrounds, I'm in favor of this proposal.
Good.
I did probably overstep my bounds, but I don't think so. I called Sarah this morning, and I made sure she understood crystal clear, and she does. I said, I'm not going to be a proponent of her taking the fairgrounds at this time. That the you know, scheduling and all that. I says, that is not a vote of no confidence. I know Sarah can do it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm positive, but I'm also looking at the fact that she's got that White Horse Park thing coming up in the next year or so, and she's going to have to keep an eye on that. She could probably juggle all of that at once. But we're talking, you know, there's a possibility that in another 3 years, 2 to 3 years, 4 years, there may be another transition as Peggy decides, you know, I'm not going to do the fair anymore. I'm not going to contract back. I'm moving to Kona. We never know what's going to happen. So there may be a transition, but for this shift of gears right now seems to me, this transition seems to be about as seamless as you're going to get. We're going to get an added aspect of Peggy doing just the fair. Now, you turn her loose on just the fair, and I'm seeing a huge difference between last year's fair and this year's fair. I'm hearing it on the street about, my gosh, what I said, there is something, there are rockets, red glare, firing every day out there at that fair. This is going to be a noticeable to the public. So I think we want to continue on that momentum, and I think this is a pretty seamless thing to do. So I'm in favor of the fair board's proposal, Peggy's proposal, everybody that's involved. And I know in your side of it, maybe you're going to have to jockey a job description and so on and so forth. I don't know that. That's your wheelhouse. But I'm in favor of what they have.
As far as having a director, we've had directors that chose to outsource operations of the 4-day fair event, or 5-day at the time, I think it was. That's not a big deal. It just costs more money. And the thought is that in doing so, you can free the time up of the director in doing other stuff and therefore make more money, and it can offset if it's executed effectively.
Are you saying that the fair director's salary needs to stay right there because he's listed as the fair director in his job description, which includes the fair?
I mean, they're still going to...
Or do you change that and say it's the fair director who doesn't have to do the fair, and so therefore he's not worth $56,000, he's worth $38,000, and the fair director gets $18,000?
I mean, you could do that. Ultimately, it is a person who's ultimately responsible for the totality of those grounds. So I think a facilities operations supervisor is worth probably NU-14, maybe NU-15, a director's worth NU-17. So it's not a ton of money difference in the two, but there's a difference in a mid-level supervisor and a director. You know, ultimately, the director is who gets called in the middle of the night and has to deal with it, and is ultimately liable.
Power outages everywhere.
So, I mean, if you want to have just a director, I would advise paying him what a director makes.
It's because they put new
retention. And then if they contract out, that's the added expense you're talking about.
You know, and ultimately, there's a chance if it's effectively executed that contracting out can be a cost-neutral decision, because it'll allow the director to spend more time on maximizing operational grounds throughout the rest of the year and have more, you know, money-making avenues there.
It also allows me to go out and find some more money in this community, and I know it's here because I'm falling into it right now. So I just...
Great.
Let's
do it. Let's move forward.
I budget, just so you know.
To your point, we've had the same issue amongst the board. We can't figure out a good name for it yet either. every time we have a discussion, we come up with three or four different scenarios where that won't work with this name, that won't work with this name. So you're absolutely right. That was just a pull
the job. The job. You mean to name the position?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a fairgrounds director, and then you contract fair management.
That's easy peasy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the only concern I have is just budget, and that's ultimately on who you hire and Peggy to manage that, because it is tenuous. I mean, their ending balance is $20,000, and
on a good day,
you know. So it is. I mean, the fairgrounds have done tremendous things.
In the fair,
well, I can make that up if I have time.
You can make that up in
there.
So it is.
There's a lot of stuff that's also out of your control.
Pardon me?
We could have a fire and you could have no budget.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's having that kind of a budget is so tenuous because something could happen. It's the same thing in the sheriff's office. They have one person with a heart condition. It's $150,000. That's half your contingency. Everybody is that way. So it's not that big a deal. You guys manage it. You have been for 5 years like this.
Six
years. Time flies. So yeah, it'll be fine. But understand it can change also.
And then we have to change.
You know? Exactly. We'll adapt to it.
Well, we get the fair behind us. You've got 365 sleeps to figure it out before the next fair.
Yep.
So I think, you know, this is probably as good.
Starts the next day. You know that with boat Nick.
Are you kidding?
Or maybe the day after.
Starting the day after means
you're in on the ground floor of it and you see it.
Absolutely.
You see that wave starting to go and you know what's happening.
She's doing what's right. She's already bought in negotiations with the grounds acts for next year. That's how it should work. It shouldn't look like trial by fire. You've got all
the groups need to know where they're going. You know, your acts need to go where they're going.
Yes.
Anyway, Commissioner Morgan, do you have any questions on this matter?
No, I support this.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Hare, you
sure?
Okay. We're in support. Thank you very much for your coming in this morning.
I would have brought the sign-up sheet for driving the carts, but I completely forgot. I'll have to catch you later on that.
Okay, are we going to get some of those posters?
I'm ready.
I just have to work around our meetings.
Oh, you
did? Okay. Got them. Well, I'm just seeing the ones you carry around.
How many more do you want?
Newbridge opening.
You get one?
Yeah.
I'm going to be there.
So be in the office. Thank you.
Okay, next up, let's get back to it. Item number 3, 4th Street Quarterly Update. Mr. Dave Streeter.
Good morning, Commissioners. Some of this will be a little bit of a rehash, given my frequent flyer miles recently here, but we'll go ahead and go over it since it is kind of stuff that's happened over the last quarter. So back in April, we sold in two different sale dates, 9.2 million feet and 7 timber sales. It was about a 50% increase over the previous year, 6.2 million board feet. We did gross $5.3 million out of those, which was about a 90% increase in dollars with a 50% increase in timber sold. And we've talked about this pretty extensively. The concept was let's make hay while sunshine and prices were good, sell a little extra volume this year, and we'll make up for it down the road sometime and tuck back down below.
How are the prices holding up?
Right now, they're really good still.
Have you considered any more volume?
I have, and that's on my list to talk about, but since how you booted it off. We're busy.
Nothing else, I know.
I looked at it. I've got a small sale in progress, but to give you an idea, in the last 2 weeks, we moved 1 million feet of timber. So my guys are extremely busy administering and keeping up with the inventory, and we just have no time right now. We could possibly look at a fall or winter sale, but right now I don't have the man force to go out and get something out, unfortunately.
Are you getting any protests or anything that are holding these sales up?
No. Haven't even heard any complaints at this point. But that's possible to change.
One of the things about the price being like it is, the private sector is moving a whole lot of wood too. So there's so much wood moving, they don't know who to call.
It's happening everywhere.
There is a shortage of logging contractors. When prices are really good, everybody that's got a a load of logs, wants to move their load of logs. So it's an active market right now. It's good to see. I mean, as a seller, it's the perfect world. I mean, I'd like to think that we packaged our sales and did a good job of selling sales that will bring in the most return to the county, and I think there is some of that, but obviously the market makes us look really good too, so we'll take it.
Yeah. Well, Dave, there's a combination of things that you've done. The closed bid, the better, you know, fewer sales, more volume, I guess, in each sale of the same amount. There's just a number of different things that you did that took advantage of this good market in a way. So you had a 40% appreciation of the timing, but you also had a significant delta in just doing closed bid sales and that other stuff. So all of that goes to contribute, and that's free money from a standpoint that it costs you nothing but administrative and to do.
You could sell at, it costs you just as much to sell low as it does high, and if you're watching the market and you sell high, that is basically free money.
Yeah,
it just ups your profit margin considerably. Yeah.
And just to echo what Commissioner Hare just pointed out, last year we moved from the oral auction process to the sealed bid, and we netted about $260,000 between number one and number two. This year was $500,000 just between number one and number two. In the past, number one was clearly only going to bid 10 cents a thousand more than number two was.
Yeah.
So this process forces them to
come up with a number, and it better be good.
Exactly. Yeah. Come up with the number you're willing to pay for the sale, and if it's a whole lot more than the next guy, good for the county. So it's worked out really well.
Do you have qualified buyers? In other words, that can get the job done the way we want it done? Is there a qualification list that they have to, that they're not going to go in and basically, you know, trash the land and
right now
make all the neighbors mad?
We've got a few people, and our timber sale contract says that the county can approve or disapprove of any logging contractor. We don't have anybody that I would say is disbarred from bidding on county timber. I think personally that would be a process where I come to the board and say, listen, this is what's going on with this purchaser, and say, in my opinion, I recommend we debar him from bidding on county timber until otherwise indicated. But we do have the authority on our timber sale contracts to say, this person's, we don't want working on county timberlands. He's got a reputation that he's put through unsatisfactory work in the past. That,
have you guys ever read our contract? I'm sure you
have. I know I have.
I've read through some that have come through.
It's pretty specific. I mean, it talks about how you're going to manage your cutting the trees, and it's all by prescription. That's what Streeter's talking about. Like, he doesn't have the man's power to lay out the timber sale, where you're going to put the roads and how it's going to be logged, whether it's from yard or skidder on the ground or a tractor or any of that stuff. It's all prescribed when he, or, you know, what would you go out there with the purchaser and say, well, how would you cut this 80-acre track or whatever like that? And they work it out. There's a specification on the uphill side, how tall the stump's going to be. It's pretty specific, you know. Tried to think of everything that would be necessary in the contract, and
it's logger talk.
We've never had to hold anybody.
Yeah, and the contract's really built for the lowest common denominator out there, to where if we get a bad player, we go, all right, that's it. You're in breach of the contract. You're going back to doing this, or you're gone. Like I explained to all of our guys when we start out a sale, we have a pre-work meeting before anybody cuts a tree on a sale, every one of the sales, and I say, okay, this is the things the contract calls for. And at the end of the day, my administrators are going to be working for the finished product. This is what we want. You know, you're only held to what the contract says, but we want the finished product at the end of the day. So we work with that contractor as we're going through the sale and make sure we get the product that we want within the contract.
It might be interesting for you guys to go out and hear one of those, what it's like someday, if it's of any interest. I'm sure Dave wouldn't mind you tagging along. I've been to a bunch as a kid. I don't know that I've ever been to one of yours, but they basically write a prescription for what they want the ground to look like when they're done, because then we have to go back out there and reforest, and if we have to dig through 2 feet of brush or blah, 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 then that just costs us more money, and the faller didn't do the job.
And I think, Commissioner Morgan, I took you out to our upper hog sale, that regen harvest up there, and that thing was looking phenomenal. I mean, it was
good.
It was going to really turn out good. We'll have a nice regeneration unit coming up there.
Well, one of the things maybe to consider for a fall sale is if we have a ground that's maybe, we don't have a lot of this, but that's winter harvestable.
Trust me, we try to take advantage of all of that we can, because you do see a premium for winter harvest around.
That's when the mills are lacking access, so there isn't the input right off the ground.
A lot of Southern Oregon has native surface dirt roads accessing a lot of the ground. The timber doesn't grow fast enough to justify the investment of rock a lot of times. But if you can get like a cable harvest unit where maybe you only have to go out a quarter of a mile to set up and be able to harvest that unit, and you only got a little bit of rock to invest, then maybe it makes sense.
A lot of the ground on the west side over there is gravel, because you're going to be able to reuse that road. It's just going to be, you have to outfit it, fit it back up, but it's going to be there in 40 years. 30 years when you're back out there harvesting.
That was one of the benefits of being in Tillamook, is seeing how they were doing their forest lands up there, and they're building the roads, you know, crushing the rock to go in the roads, and they leave them for a year to settle before they're even harvesting that area. So they know up to five years in advance what their harvest is going to be, what their plan is. And so they're building their roads over a year in advance to give them time to settle. And so because
they
of the high
that.
Rain,
cars don't need that.
Really, the attraction.
They talked about for the rain, though.
The
but,
clay
yeah.
just.
The attraction is for the purchasers to have basically 365-day access to that timber.
Huge.
If they only have the summer months access to it, well, there's a lot of wood available in the summer months. So it's less attractive than something that's available 365 days a year. Moving on to our inventory, I recently sent off our inventory update to the contractor. I haven't heard back from him yet. It usually takes a couple weeks to a month to have him go through that, get everything updated, ship us back a new product updated. And we're continuing to do, you know, 2,000 to 2,500 acres a year in inventory plots, so we're doing that all in-house rather than contracting it out in conjunction with our regular
duties.
And
that's working pretty well?
It is. Good. It's working really well. I've got one guy that I lean on more heavily to administration and one guy that I lean on more heavily to doing plots, just because that's kind of their niche.
Yeah.
But that's working out well. That's something we have to stay on top of and keep moving forward all the time. We don't
mind going out
stale.
With a field guy sometime.
Sure.
I remember doing that with my dad, doing some surveying and stuff. It's really interesting. Some of these guys, Dwight Fickus.
Yep.
He did a lot of that for Rough and Ready, Indian Hill, and Perpetua, I think.
Yeah.
For years, you just go out and you take a look at, do some measurements and
take plots.
Yeah.
Grants, we have one grant out that's starting to grow mold on it. It's a FEMA grant that was basically awarded to the county. Right now, FEMA has contracted with some folks to do an environmental impact statement.
Good night.
Thankfully, we aren't paying for any of that, but it's just a phenomenal headache, to be honest with you. Had I known the amount of time and effort it was going to take, today I would say it wasn't worth it, because we're going into year four, I think, on this thing. And they think they might get through this impact statement by the end of summer. So maybe if we hold our breath long enough and turn purple,
what's
we might
the
see
plan? What's the? I don't even know what the plan is.
The plan is, I think, 7 properties that kind of have an urban interface, and just to take a strip along those and treat the fuels, knock it down.
That's all we need to do. And what's it like 400?
Yeah, it was 300 or 400 acres in total. It wasn't a lot.
Oh.
And yeah, it's just you get the feds involved and it's a whole different ball game. Whole different ball.
So for future reference, let's not do that.
Yeah.
The real reason there was, but
it's typical with everything.
Right.
You know, that's like highway projects. You get the feds involved because they're gonna throw a nickel at your way.
We have.
And it costs 2 to 3 times what you can do it here locally.
Yeah, you end up with all those strings on.
You get people flying in from all over and nobody's working.
Well, the bait involved with the thing was the money could either go to fuels or rehabilitation. So the attractiveness was for rehabilitation money to replant on the Douglas complex burn. But they dilly-dallied so bad on the whole thing, and we had seedlings coming that I just finally said,
forget it.
I'm planting. In 2 weeks, I'm planting. And you can't do that or you'll lose the money. But I'm sorry.
Right?
You don't. You lose the trees.
Yeah.
Right.
We want the ground rehab.
People
so.
Are idiots.
So that one we just said, fine, keep it, and we kept moving forward with the fuels part of it because it's no harm, no foul, really, at this time other than me having to deal with them. our youth tree plant is scheduled for February 7th, 8th, and 9th. Typically get around 1,000 kids planting around 4,000 seedlings for that. Right now we're doing some prep work on the ground. We've got our D6 out there. Opening up some spots, getting brush piled, and then we'll burn that in the fall.
Great.
Be ramrodding our way right through that.
Do you get snow? I mean, February 8th and 9th.
You get rain.
We haven't had snow yet since I've been here, but we did have 2 years ago. We had one heck of a rain, and I never saw a kid with a frown on his face. I mean, they were planting in the rain and playing in the mud. Loved it. So the parents maybe not so much, and the volunteers. I've never seen a miserable kid.
That's great.
Silviculture, we put in about 130,000 seedlings back out on the burn, mostly interplanting, trying to get it up to snuff. We did do some tubing on some of that where we were really getting hammered, and so far, to this point in the spring, we're seeing really good survival on that. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. If we can keep getting a little bit of rain through July, it'll really help. And hopefully, finally, we will be done with that. We did ask Arthur to set a little bit of money aside just in case going into next year. But our hopes are to finally be done getting that thing up to snuff and stop.
Do we do any stag removal or...
Only the areas that we harvested and along roads where it was
so
necessary.
We're planting in amongst dead timber.
Yeah.
Does that pose a challenge? I know that they make for squiggly.
If we get windy days, yes, it does. And if
when you're planting, but
yeah.
I mean like the production of the trees.
Not really. I mean, some of that stuff will melt over time and come down, and it may bend something over, but
that's
being
what I
this
usually,
big,
yeah.
It's like breaking a kid's leg, you know, they can heal from it. And
they usually just bend around it or something.
Yeah.
That's where you see those trees that have some sort of a weird, there was a log there 4 years ago.
Right. Anyway. One out of millions.
Yeah. No, it can be quite a lot. If you go back into BLM, non-harvested burned areas, all of the trees... You're getting rid of the first 6-8 feet.
Yeah, where you really this stuff I'm not as concerned about given the age of the reprod, but when you get the stuff up, you know, 30, 40 foot tall, and you get a bad snow and windstorm that pops the tops out. I mean, that's their growing pinnacle.
Yeah,
you know, and then you get rot coming from the inside, so that's a killer.
Split in your
and it happens. I mean, sometimes it just does.
Yeah.
Couple other things, working in progress on recording perpetual access to lands. That's been a challenge and very disappointing, I guess is the best way to put it. I was talking to legal this morning about an access that we had into a piece of property on Savage Creek, West Savage Creek, that we went through all the work to get the easements and then record. They're in Jackson County, just across the property line, the properties, and they recorded them in Josephine County. So any new owners down there were notified through the title search that there's an easement on their property. So I'm waiting to hear back from our legal department on what our next step should be. And I've got easements that all the work was done. I don't know if money was paid for them at times, but road work was done to improve it, and we didn't record them. And we recorded them in the wrong place, but I'm having to clean that stuff up.
Isn't there not imminent, but perpetual or something?
It's the 10-year thing.
Yeah, right? If you've been maintaining it or using it.
Adverse possession, basically.
That seems like a pretty good standing point to negotiate an easement.
And given our frequency of use, sometimes can be a bit of a challenge. I mean, sometimes it's 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, that we haven't used it.
Before you're back in there. So it's a tough one. Fortunately for this particular instance, we have other way in. It's not optimal, but we do have other way in. But it's always good to have all the access.
Highlighted. I mean, it would be really interesting for Noyes to put together a map that just says, you know, like red and teal, the red ones we're working on, or green, or some sort of visual thing to where we could like check them off. Of having access.
I'd have to sit down and go through every one of them and identify them that way in the GIS, and then he could create that map.
That would be interesting to just
know how many there are.
Yeah, right.
The BLM reciprocal, thank goodness, took care of a lot of problems. But
that would be a place to start.
Yeah.
Give those to Bob and say, hey, can you put these in? And then over time, whittle away the others to where we know these are the six last remaining reciprocal, you know, illustrated on a map that we could really lean into with legal and, you know, almost like our property sales. We used to have, I tell you, I wouldn't have put together those Tuesday meetings of getting the properties, we still wouldn't have ever had a sale, I can guarantee you. You just got to have those things where we all come together, and it might take 5 minutes, but you just come together on it, and eventually you're there. So it's the priority, but that's really, I mean, if we don't have access, the ground is basically useless. You can't even hardly sell it.
And those that we can't work through, we're putting on the auction block. You know, if we just can't
get there,
we're putting up on the auction block and getting rid of them, let somebody else worry about it. If we can't access them, it doesn't do us any good.
Right.
We did have one property that sold in the last auction, I think, on contract for around $75,000.
Yeah.
I think about $60,000 will come to the program. And then the only other thing I have is we're currently moving through the process of getting that forest practices ordinance passed, which will be a big deal for our department. It'll help kind of define what our goals are for the future and also give me a little more latitude on the contracts.
One thing I wanted to mention while you were here is we've talked about this before, but your property sales are less than ideal. What you're getting rid of is the junk, and so you're not going to experience a big revenue windfall. But I think that, you know, we've had a lot of property, forest-managed property, in Josephine County change hands in the last year or two, and we weren't at the table on that. I don't know how we do this, but at some point I think probably as a transition property element in executive session, but giving Dave and Helene the direction that if you see something come up that fits into the portfolio, just telling you, you know, out of your forestry reserve or whatever, you have $1 million to go help this portfolio round out. And maybe it's buying access. Maybe the piece of property that we can't seem to get access through to ours is the 80 acres, the 40 acres, the 5 acres. We go buy and give ourselves reciprocal right of well, sell it, you know, whatever it takes, but giving you the discretion to manage this portfolio with that tool in the tool chest. Right now, you know, you're getting payments for $60,000 over the next 5 years. That's not affording you an ability to go purchase property off of that. So as that comes due, that's great, but that's what I would like to see us talk about, you know, outline what does that look like.
I don't know how the reserve fund is set up, if how much is even being set aside. I know a portion of it is for the shelter, and whatnot, but how that, I mean, obviously we need to save some back.
Isn't anything in there for
and that's something you three should maybe think about as how that money's managed, because any board could come in and rob that fund and do what they want with it down the road. So
it was my thought that we adopt something like a forestry trust first by ordinance, and then the forest practices by ordinance, and then adopt something, because everybody has it by board order, Hood River to Coos County. I don't think Douglas County has anything. There's nothing stopping a board from changing that, but if we could put something in somewhat of a parameter, so these are the things that it's able to be used for, but whatever you use it for, just use it on a sustainable basis, not taking all of it at once and just saying, well, shoot, we're not going to leave the next board anything to deal with.
Well, even the process of, I think I've explained this before, we could have 3 years' worth of sales on the books and we could have harvest in 1 year. So my silviculture budget may be around $250,000, for example, but that could grow to $1 million in 1 year if everybody chose to harvest. Now, obviously, I'd have to come to the board and say, Mother, may I, because I overspent my silviculture budget, but I think it's defensible.
That's why I want a formula. So
but then if that money's not sitting in the account either, I don't have it to reinvest back in the ground, and I have to.
Arthur and I have been talking about this, and about setting up a formula of every acre that's sold or what have you. There's a certain cost of reforestation, and whatever it is, just assign it, you know, at $100 an acre or something like that. And that out of every sale, if you sell 80 acres, you've got, you know, $8,000.
You better put that aside.
That has to be put aside. It's kind of like our property sales. We assess 10% on every property sale to go to administration. Does it cost 10%? No. But we don't know how much it costs.
You don't know how much it's going to cost. One legal battle and that.
But assigning an administrative fiduciary element to the revenue, so it doesn't matter whether you sell it for $250 or $800 a thousand, $100 a thousand comes out for reforestation, something like that.
And what about the times when you have to reforest three times, like you have that up there?
Those are blows, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, if we say it costs on average X amount to reforest and walk away from an acre of ground and pad it a little bit, that probably build enough of a cushion to handle the really bad ones over time. The other thing is expanding on what you said, Commissioner Hare, about having money available to purchase land. You know, I think there's one that's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. It's owned by a REIT and they're very aggressive right now, and it's my suspicions that a lot of that ownership, which is right in mixed in with ours, will be cut and then possibly sold within the next 5 to 10 years.
You're buying low. You know, people are they're not going to be able to earn top dollar for those grounds. We can't just, you know, liquidate our portfolio the way private sector can and move on because of the way we've acquired these lands. It's very complicated. So we're kind of here. So the idea that we infill or whatever makes sense to me, you know.
And the other question is to what degree do you want it to become public lands?
We're in the business. I don't really, you know. And the benefit is that we're managing it, not set aside like other entities. We're active participants. And, you know, that creates jobs out there. You can't sell, 9 million board feet or whatever. People have to take it off and replant it and all of that stuff, build the roads. So I think that's actually added.
Yeah, not only do we invest a lot of money into the county and the area through our contractors, but the people that purchase our contracts do the same thing through the harvest contractors, road building contractors, the mill itself.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
That's all I have, unless you guys have some questions for me.
Yeah, correct. I do like the element of putting a cost to reforest on everything per acre, and it's set that
something.
No matter what, and it can go up or down a little bit, but we should be banking something when we sell.
Agreed.
he's doing it budget year by budget year, and it's so hard.
That's what I've told Arthur. I said, you want this budget? And I said, here's the thing is I can say, okay, we're going to get $1 million of revenue. But if they choose to cut, it could be $8 million of revenue. Mm-hmm. Next year, I ain't going to get nothing.
You don't get it all. Yeah.
You know, and the same thing goes with the silviculture side of it. You know, I can budget an average year, but at the end of the day, if those purchasers choose to get aggressive on those things, I can blow that budget. And that's actually what happened this year. I think we budgeted $250,000, $260,000 for an average year. Well, we only spent a fraction of that, but we shifted it. We spent it in the burn, you know. So it's just so you guys understand, it's hard.
And will you have to do that eventually? You didn't do it this year, but you may have to do it next year.
Do what?
You said you didn't spend that money, so you didn't. That's your replanting.
So we did spend the money. We just spent it in the burn
in a different place.
Yeah, it was actually in our 10 fund, our regular budget to spend on stuff that was sold under timber sales, but nobody harvested. So we had extra money, so we invested it into the burn, and Arthur had saved money in the 49 fund for the burn, which we overspent, so he was going to put them together, basically, was our combined budget. As long as we didn't exceed the combined budget from the 49 fund rehab, the burn, and the 10 fund.
Almost need like a road and bridges fund in public works, as we do in forestry, of that contingency. That's the way I see it structured. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
Right. Sorry.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
We actually need it.
Thank you very much. So, real quickly, others, item number 5?
I do, but I can do it under the next one.
Okay.
Under the
Commissioner Morgan?
I can wait.
You're all set. So we are adjourned at 10:01, and then we will go 1 a.m.
Okay.
Today is June 19, 2018. It's 10 a.m. Legal counsel update in the BCC conference room. Item number 1 is resolution number 2017-028 in the matter of granting vacation of a portion of Dog Creek Road, a public right of way. And we've got everybody here. Our friend is here. Take a seat.
Okay, yep, so we're passed a resolution, and then sometime thereafter, the discussion sort of rekindled with the property owner. And so we're here to basically consult the board about what to do next.
Okay. All right, so what we're looking at is we had a request for a road vacation, and the road vacation was requested. This is for Dog Creek. I think it was issued around November of 2017. I think all members of the board signed this resolution and granting the road vacation with the stipulation that paved turnarounds were installed as part of the plan. And so Mr. West came to my office. He was kind of asking about the status of the road vacation, and I informed him that, you know, it was signed, just had to be recorded. But as a condition of being recorded, he needed to do the paved turnarounds. So I consulted with Public Works, and after our discussion, we kind of came to 3 plans of action for you guys. So first of all, I mean, I think we have the order here.
I'm good with that. What is the requirement of that road in that area? I guess Mr. West is like, this has to be paved, but the road getting there isn't paved or
right
condition. It's like, what?
So the problem for us was there's a board order from 2001 that talks about gates, and once you put in a gate, it stipulates a paved turnaround. That doesn't mean we can't do a design modification. So we could either ask for a waiver to put in no turnarounds at all, which I would strongly advise against, obviously. But if we could do a rock turnaround, then he could just have an engineer go out there and basically say, I'm proposing 10 inches of gravel instead of 4. That's roughly the equivalent of AC, and I'd want fire to sign off on it to say, yeah, we could actually get an engine turned around there without turning into a quagmire. I'm just throwing out numbers.
Okay,
yeah. How many inches of AC does how many inches of rock
it
equal?
Sounds like one of those off ramp slowdown deal.
Yeah, without knowing what the soil type looks out there. So if he got an engineer to sign off and fire said, "Yep, we think we could get an engine turned around in there," that's our concern.
That sounds fine. Can we repeal that order in 2001? That doesn't seem. I'd like there to be, you know, just a check in. about what is an engineer sign-off. When you install a gate and vacate an easement, rather than being in...
If the order says that it needs a turnaround, though...
No, no. When you install a gate and the board requires a turnaround, it'll be paved. Mm. You don't always have to have a paved turnaround, but that order requires...
It doesn't seem...
Practical.
Practical to have, out in the middle of nowhere, have a paved turnaround just because it says so. But adequate turnaround.
I would recommend maybe revising that order to say something like if it's contiguous pavement all the way to that point, then the turnaround ought to be paved. But
that
if there's not, yeah. So yeah. We can
consistent with
some
what's
discretion.
There.
Right.
Consistent with what's there.
Some discretion.
Right.
That would be.
And as we looked at this, the other difficulty with the gates is it talks about a lot of the stipulations as to what the gates should and shouldn't do, but there's no real check-in to say, yeah, that meets the... So nobody has inspected the gates are already up there.
Well, once we vacate an easement, it returns to private property.
Right.
So nobody's coming to me and saying, you know, my ranch, this gate
True.
Needs to be able to do this.
If it's a full vacation, right.
I'm sorry.
But this order also captured gates that were closing off still public right-of-ways. There is a process.
Okay. Well, in that situation,
yeah.
I think we would want to. I mean, just like
so that's what made it difficult for his, yeah. If it was already vacated, then yeah, he could put up whatever kind of gate he wants.
Right.
But it's still public right-of-way behind it. It's chicken and the egg a little bit with this situation.
So, and just because there's a potential of conflict, I'm not going to vote on this.
Well, I'm in favor of whatever we can do to get this moving forward. I think we all know where we want it to go.
Yeah.
Whatever mechanism, a variance, repealing order 2001 or, you know, another order, accounting for a variance.
Sure.
That sounds fine. I don't remember why we would have... I don't think that I was clear about what quality of the road was when we were requiring it. Does the... previous order we did in November actually say that it was required to be paid?
Yeah, so
or
we
does
have,
it reference the
2001? It says, it doesn't reference the 2001 order, but it says the portion of Dog Creek Road, which is attached to as Exhibit A by reference, is hereby vacated on the condition that the petitioner construct paved turnarounds at each of the remaining public right-of-way in accordance with the standards of the RLDC 81170.
Hummer, it seems like that would have been negotiated with Mr. West. You know, at the point he wanted to put in a gate, and why would we pave?
I don't think it was public work. I think there was an understanding of public works within context of all this, and then things went to planning, and now we have to come back.
I see. Yeah,
because of the 01 order, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So do you want us to reach out to West, or do you guys want to that he needs to just have an engineer sign something off? Because that was the other difficulty, I think,
yeah.
Is that his attorney was working with you, and that's kind of short-circuiting the process.
Sure. Yeah. We can talk about it, and then I can contact him.
Have him give us a call. We can get the attorney involved. Okay.
Great.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are we doing something with this order, which seems to do a lot of other things? We don't want to
really
get rid of that order. That's a...
2001?
The 2001 order, or are we changing that?
I've been doing 7.5 years unaware of that order just fine. I'm just kidding.
Do you want to take a stab at amending it to basically say if something to the effect of contiguous or asphalt to that point is what, if there's not, then...
Right.
Yeah.
Consistent with what's already there or something,
okay.
You know, that
yeah.
It that meets or exceeds what's already there.
Okay.
And a provision for...
And what about that?
Since that's separate than the other issue, my only thought on that is his reference is that it's the state code or state regulation. So there was a reason that we had it there in the first place. It's not just us making something up. So it needs to be consistent with whatever the regulations
with your
RLDC,
are. Right.
They've got design modification options by the sound of it. So I think that's my take is that's consistent as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That would be my only concern is making sure we're consistent
yep.
with that.
Do we bring this back? Mm-hmm. With a change? Because that has not been recorded yet.
Yeah, this,
okay.
This has been signed, but it hasn't been recorded.
Right.
Yep.
If you want to repeal that, amend it, that's fine too.
Okay.
That's what I would do. But
can you repeal just that and then without messing
yeah.
with 2001?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
just amend that instead of the 2001? Then we can work on 2001 later?
We can just amend the one that you guys signed, right? Yes.
Great.
We'll do that. Okay, I think that's
okay.
The simplest one, the fastest.
Okay.
Get out of there faster.
Okay, so
any other questions about
resolution.
That? Wally, did you have something? You
no.
look like you're anticipating saying something.
I was going to suggest we target perhaps 2 weeks to bring this back before the board.
Yeah.
That
sure.
Okay. That sound right, Rob?
If he can get an engineer, it should be a quick one. I mean,
Well, he isn't contingent on that doing this.
No, not that
part.
True.
This should be easy.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
But he doesn't have to wait for that, this to be done to go do that.
Right. Yep. Okay. Is necessary.
We got all that one. You got direction on that one? Perfect. Item number two, matters from commissioners.
The only thing I just wanted to mention is I attended the airport advisory board meeting last night, and this isn't legal, but we didn't do that in the last one because we ran out of time. They're just having challenges with the old home that was there.
Where are we looking now?
The Ivy Airport.
And, oh, okay.
So the airport advisory board just wanted to delegate Larry, the liaison, and the smoke jumper contingent, or anybody else who wants to participate, and just getting it on a trajectory of resolve of what are we going to do with that? Are they going to move it? All the other options. So I just think that, they were really good. Everybody understood that it's ultimately the board's responsibility to make the decision, and I just wanted you to be aware that I think that that's ongoing, and that eventually that will be coming to the board from a recommendation from the liaison. It was good.
Well, the smoke jumpers have given us a report on that. We've already heard from them.
We got a different report that countered what they reported.
Exactly.
They have another report because Larry has got information about the remediation costs. Mm-hmm. So,
I don't know if you've been inside that house and looked at it. And
I haven't. I never have.
From my experience in construction, I don't see how it would meet their requirement for a museum, because that's what I think.
Let's just talk about that when we get there. We'll get there. The CAJO schedule, I still can't remember who's going. We need to notice.
Okay, the CAJO schedule, I think because...
Larry's still going to do it even though it was...
Right.
Right?
I think Larry's going to do it this month. Larry and I are going to do it this month in June.
Why don't you grab Rob too?
July, and Rob might be a good one on there. But and then July, we want to do the fair.
Right.
Fairgrounds in July.
Because
August would probably be health department.
We're going to do parks.
I thought parks was June.
Parks.
Right.
I thought parks
remember.
Was going into the recreational season.
We can do that.
The thought for Larry was it was before airport days, but airport days is
ahead of time. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, let's go to parks. That's.
If I'm going to do that, I need to.
Okay.
Let her know.
Let's change it. I was under the impression we were going to do airports because they just threw it out there as what we would, But I see the merit in doing parks now because we're going in the season. Parks passes.
Okay.
So Sarah,
I'll do that.
You and Sarah, you want me to get a hold of Sarah?
No.
Okay, you'll take care of it, okay. And then for July, we'll have fairgrounds. And I'll do fairgrounds with Lonnie and Peggy. August, would health and immunizations be a good time for August going into school?
Sure, or fires, there'll be a lot going on about that time of year, so.
Okay. So August will be help?
Well, as long as we have the next month scheduled, that's fine.
And then September, we'll get Larry up there and away we go. Okay?
Your, I don't know if you want to talk about this in public, but I would imagine it's coming anyway. Your op-ed?
Yeah.
Are you wanting to submit that?
Well, a commissioner expressed an interest in potentially having the board submit it. I brought to copies.
The board or you?
That's up to you. Oh. I'll submit it and sign it, or if the board would prefer it, then...
I already weighed in that I thought it was coming from you. Was
yeah.
I just think that if you have the board in it, it backs up Wally's, what he's saying, that we agree with what he's saying. That's what we want to take it to. I don't have a problem with it.
I think we're...
I think that it's actually more credible having Wally weigh in on it, because we're the ones that got the attack. Us responding is just tit for tat. Having legal weigh in and saying, no, this is why the board is on track, actually gives...
Okay, that makes sense.
I can see both. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I can, well, pull back my
Okay.
Commissioner, do you sign it and away you go?
That's the plan.
You're in your picture.
I'll send it.
Make sure you get a good picture.
Can't take a bad one of me.
We don't have that kind of time. We have to have it in the paper.
Yeah. Soon. No, we can send a file photo.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that's all right. It.
Can I take a look at one of those drafts? Too? Mm-hmm. Thanks. So then for Commissioner DeYoung, so we talked in the third paragraph, the first sentence of that paragraph is second. So I say county officials have dialogued with marijuana producers, including the relative few, about the legal challenge to the same extent. And it says, for example, Commissioner DeYoung met with the off-quarter organizer Farms who moved to Josephine County and spoke favorably about our media venture to the media.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yep, okay. That hits the nail on the head, you bet.
Thank you. So we got that. Nailed. All right. Okay. Offer to go today.
So the only other question I would have is when we can get on the agenda discussing next steps for 002.
20 minutes.
Oh, is it on the...
Indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what B there. Was. I forgot that name. Sorry. Yep. My bad. Yeah, you know. It's not listed as 002, so it didn't stand out to me. My apologies.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm interested in the informational question that we're going to put on the ballot.
It's on the agenda for Thursday.
Okay, good.
Last I heard.
Good.
So... And we're going to bring you that timeline. I think we've got the timeline done. Correct? Yes.
Yes, we've seen it already.
So we're going to bring that. I can gin up a rough draft, bring it in, and we can start.
What my plans are for that is I would like to see all five counties try to put something on their ballot also all at the same time. And, you know, if we kind of kick that, you know, say here's an example of what we're going to put on as an exploratory question on the ballot, you know, I urge you to refer something to your ballot in November.
Okay.
And get the same response or see what your people think. And if we can do that in all five counties, I think it would be... I don't know whether Douglas would participate, but they might. Hard to say. I don't know where Tim Freeman and Chris Boyce up there stand. But,
yeah.
But, Commissioner Hare knows them very well. Mm-hmm. So the possibility that, you know, just an exploratory question might be an eye-opener for them also.
Sure.
May backfire? We don't know. But I think if we have all five counties... have some sort of response back from their people when it is asked of our people at the legislative session in 19 that, you know, well, how do your folks feel about it? I said, well, I don't think there's any interest back home. And you have all five counties go, well, we're 70-30. No, we were 65-35 and so on and so forth. It just basically shows interest from the public and go from there.
All right. So
that's my plan. So I don't know what are all... exploratory question requirements, you know, as far as timeline, are they the same for all counties? Okay.
No, we have ours is sometimes more than everybody else's because of our charter.
Okay.
Oh.
But if we got ours in on our timeline, it should be sufficient for everybody else.
It would be
longer
than everybody else's, and we'll give them plenty of time.
Right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that theirs isn't. Nope, it's May 15th, and you already got by. So.
Okay.
I'm going to just, there was an email that just came in about a planning commission member. In the bylaws or whatever governs that, because it's a different body than most, we have a member that has not been attending. She's missed the last four, I guess, meetings, or has not attended three consecutively. I think she's already looking to resign, but I'm not sure. But we need to advertise and get that thing going. Because there's a lot of stuff in the queue for the Planning Commission, so
Is there a step for us to remove her? Is that what you're asking, or is it for... Okay.
Yeah. Actually, what I'm being told is that it's an automatic if you've missed three, and I think she's missed four.
Now, some things say unnoticed absenteeism. In other words,
she didn't notice.
If the city council, you could call into the council president and say, I'm going to be gone because of this.
Yeah.
And then you have two more after that. The first one really didn't count.
She's saying that it's challenging to attend anyway. So I think we need to move forward with advertising. These are hard ones to fill. So.
Yeah.
So the only other thing I would offer is that the cannabis advisory panel, there were the majority wanted to dissolve the panel. However, there were a core group that has been attending even when there were not a quorum that wanted it to be reformatted and kind of shored down in different functions. So
yeah,
I Yeah, I think that the idea was to bring the panel to a lesser number and allow those. One thought was that one of the items in the bylaws was that they can handle complaints.
Yeah.
And so instead of it being that prevention be the staff person liaison, up till now, community development has been resistant to being the staff person, but with there being two code enforcement, it might be something that we can incorporate that into a process of some of the, we're focusing on health and human safety, what about these ones? Can those go through a panel?
It might be more relevant to some of the numbers, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something to think about.
But that's something that I would recommend that we maybe pursue. Okay. And
okay.
That was the feedback from that's the group.
Let us know how we can help.
Second Amendment, we're getting a lot of traffic on the Second Amendment ordinance. If we put this out as an ordinance, we're going to go to public comment and have an absolute room full. Can we do it as a go back to kind of backtracking to what Commissioner Mayer said, do it as a resolution and then that's just done? It's shoring up our charter, I get that.
Something to consider. It's certainly an option. Okay. Let's think about it.
I have no problem standing up there taking the heat, but I'm also not interested in listening to 250 people at 3 minutes of whack.
Okay. Would you like us to draft that as a resolution?
I mean, I'd like to hear comments and
think about it. We'll have something to review on Thursday. Molly and I will.
Okay.
Thursday's agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
Side note about Thursday's agenda. So we're scheduled last that day deliberately so that we can have a little bit extra time to discuss these matters.
Perfect.
So
it'll be short and sweet. I think we've gotten over that pretty thoroughly.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's been refined to just the highlights. So.
Okay.
Great.
And it looks to me like we have an executive session today. Item number 3. Anything else for legal counsel update, first part of the meeting?
Just to give you, since you guys talked about the fair schedule, or was that the last meeting or this meeting? I was told that the airports was on KJO today.
Oh, yes. Okay. So. He did that on his own. He mentioned that.
Did
last
he? Okay,
night,
well, good, he, good.
But so it was just the fly.
Then we'll just put him till September or something, and he'll be fine because he got his.
We'll find another thing.
We'll find another time
okay,
for him
great.
To be on that. That sounds great. Okay. All righty. Ready? Today is Tuesday, June 19, 2018, and it is 10:22.
2019? Oh, no, you're right. The 19th.
June 19, 2018, at 10:22 a.m., Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda item. Item 3A is purchase of real property, ORS 192.6602E, and B is Randy Crossens et al. Versus Josephine County Land Use Board of Appeals, 2017122, Court of Appeals case number A167418. ORS 192.6602H. Approved representatives of the media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All of the members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to an open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 10:23. Okay, the recorder is now turned on, and we are back in session at 11 a.m. We'll have a quick update here, but for right now, we'll have item number 4, matters from commissioners. And
no,
then
no, we have to do a summary.
3A.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Property purchase. Just recommend that the board delegate authority to the property liaison myself and Helene to negotiate on two property purchases potentially for the county with the understanding that the revenues, the resources used to purchase those properties not be general fund property tax revenues as precluded by our charter, which would require a vote, and that's not how we'll be purchasing those properties.
And that's correct.
And then I guess I could do recommend for item 3B under, as it's a planning issue, that we continue that discussion to Thursday in executive session following the morning agenda.
morning workshop.
And that's it.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Item number 4, legal counsel update continued. Matter from commissioners.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing from myself.
Okay.
So we are back in session at 10. We did that. We are now adjourned at 11:01.